Okay, but as a Canadian.
Oh no, you're supposed to tell me this or it's entraption. Welcome back to Monday Night Fake Fights, where I, Garrick Taylor, she, they, am doing a rewatch of the Monday Night Wars and making it everybody's problem as though we don't have enough as it is. This week's esteemed victim is...
Liz Ransdell. Woo. I am she, her, and I'm really just excited to be here.
Yay! Well, you're more than excited to be here. Tell the people the things you've done.
Oh my goodness.
What's the list of crimes, Liz? What's
I do, actually. I write smut. I do. I write so much smut. I write horror smut, and it's really fun to do. So when I'm not making cute little adorable cartoons starring sharks and their human girlfriends, I rewrite the stories that predators wrote. People like Lewis Carroll, who are beloved for being like these amazing children's writers, but really they were nasty old pervs. I like to rewrite their stories, you know? I like to show them off from a slightly different viewpoint.
I fucking adore this about you. And like, I am not going to lie, the first time I started to see some of the Alice in Wonderland stuff out of context, I was like, like, this is... I was like, does she know? And then it became clear, yes, you know. And I was like, oh, okay, oh, yeah. Good. All right.
So Oof. Many content warnings. And we had to put it in big letters because even though we posted it in 6 different places on the Kickstarter, which funded in less than 2 weeks, by the way. Again, because I'm awesome. We did. We had to put it in big letters at the top because even then some people were like, I just wish we'd known. And I'm like, how?
How did
anything not point to you that this was going to mess you up? I swear.
Everybody asks, and it's so funny to me because, like, I don't know if you're familiar with the Trailer Park Boys TV show, but there's this one episode where they're in court for something, and he keeps swearing, and they're like, you can't smoke and you can't swear, and he's like, look, if I can't swear or smoke, I'm fucked. And I'm like, that's how I feel every time. So I was like, can I swear on here? I'm like, God, I hope so.
I know. Well, the problem is usually I don't ask. And then I'm like, oh, I wasn't supposed. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, sorry. No, no.
And then I do it again because it's automatic. Like, who doesn't swear? That's weird.
Yeah. But yes, I'm so happy you're here. Everyone should check all that out. And of course, I'm going to make you do more plugs at the end because I love boosting my people. but in the meantime, we're here to talk about problematic 90s wrestling. And I have to do the ask, what, if any, is your history or what is your relationship with the sport of kings, if you will?
This was actually the perfect time for me because this is literally when I stepped into this world.
Yay! Right? We caught one, finally!
I was very shy, and due to some things in my past, which no one needs to know about my childhood, I was always kind of afraid of men, and I never dated. And so this was also the beginning of like dating, and I immediately went to the most problematic people, but they were fun, and pay-per-views and wrestling were like just part of the package with these guys at the time. In fact, one of the things I was like, oh my gosh, I hardly remember a time when it wasn't Triple H headlining.
Oh my God, right? Yeah.
So we went back so far that I was like, oh my God, I forgot.
He hasn't even gotten punished yet. Like we haven't gotten to punish Paul yet.
Right.
And I look forward to punish Paul.
yes. And there was so many like parallels that I drew and I always look at everything as a writer. Right. So I kept going to that writing that went into this, which I didn't do that. I just was in it as a kid. In it as a kid, but now looking back at it and going, shit, that was actually really complete. That was somebody went to great personal, mindfully looking at this whole thing and going, okay, this needs to happen over here. Well, this is happening over there. And I can't help but still be super impressed, even though I'll admit that there were some other personality, especially in like management, that I did fall in love with more than like who am I thinking of? Then who was it? Jim Cornette. Like he was okay, but he was Paul Heyman.
Oh right? No. Well, they're very
nobody.
There is,
I understand.
Nobody is. The closest thing is on commentary and Nitro. Yeah, to me, Bobby Heenan and Paul Heyman are the tied for first, basically.
Yeah, right. But it was so cool to be able to see this, and then because I haven't watched actually in like I haven't watched in months since I moved because we've just still been getting in. I honestly just don't watch anything right now. I've been doing a lot of reading, but to be able to go back to this because this was my love era. This was when I developed my first crushes and sort of just fell in love with wrestling. And there were times that I fell out of love. So it was really good to go all the way back to this.
Are you still an active fan?
I am. I am, but I always I'm also an old.
Me too.
So I always go back to, okay, but what about, right?
Yeah.
And I certainly don't want to make that about anybody, you know, but there's that mid, I think that sort of maybe even 2011 to 2019, I really fell back in love with it. I was having a really good time and my life was in a good place too. So there was just some really interesting things happening there. And it might have something to do with it that I was getting to watch it with like my love, who is my spouse, and we were building our family and we were bringing our children into it.
Yeah, and that is so good. Kiddo has fallen out of it, but a couple years ago when I was getting more into modern stuff, because I fell off for like 20 years after 9/11, it got weird. Longtime listeners have heard this rant before. COVID happened, and I was like, hey, why don't we catch up on the pay-per-views? And next thing you know, I'm like, wow, fuck me. You know, I guess I'm in this now. Austin's coming back for a WrestleMania. Let's go. Like, okay.
It's right. Yeah.
Yeah, got me. Yeah. I'm a simple bitch. Like you knew what I needed. And it was the bionic redneck.
And you gave it. So
yeah. And they did it. And it was a great match. Him and KO. It was a wonderful time. So I was like, all right, I'm back. And then I found out about AEW and I was like, oh, this is like the old stuff. This is like wrestling when I was a kid. Again, and it's fantastic, but I concur that like when I went back and did my rewatch, I was correct in stopping watching when I did. It was very bad for a very long time. But yeah, that 2010 to 2019 ish, when Punk started getting back in and stuff like that was pretty good stuff for a while there. He's an asshole, but he's our asshole.
And that happened. Wait, you could repeat that so often.
Yeah, for a lot of these guys, but him specifically, you know, MJF has scumbag. He's a scumbag, but he's our scumbag. Damn it. And like I there's lots of things I despise about Pepsi Phil, but he's real good at what he do. And like you know, him and Heyman together was. A thing that will never ever be repeated probably. And like Heyman of course is good with lots of guys, but him and Punk together was like the two worst edgelord little fuckers you knew growing up, like edging each other on, like oh my god, let's do it harder, well let's see how much trouble we can get into, let's egg the principal's car, you know, like and they did it. And like Paul talks about, one of my favorite shoot interviews is Paul talking about putting them together, and like they do their first thing together where he like gets into the car with Heyman and drives off to like, you know, let everyone know that they're an item. And both of them are giggling to each other in the car as they drive off camera going, this is gonna last 3 months, we're gonna get so fired, like we're gonna fuck this shit up so hard, and just laughing at like how like much trouble they're gonna get into. And it was amazing. I was like, nope, that's the energy that made that good again. So that's awesome. Cause like in my rewatch, that was absolutely a period that stuck out to me. So it's good to know that was not just me being weird, but you also touch on, as a writer, the storytelling of it. And people joke about, oh, storytelling. I'm like, no, it really is though. When it's done correctly, when it's done well, which some of it was done well this week, some of it not so much. So I am very excited to have you on. And on that note, do you want to start with Nitro or Raw? I've decided I'm leaving it up to the guest on picking their poison, if you will.
Raw.
Yeah. This seems to be the go-to. All right. Well, okay, folks. Raw this week. I will say off the bat, it's not as bad as it has been, which is great because reality right now is a motherfuck. So,
yeah.
I was like, oh, am I gonna have Liz on for like just all this hate crime stuff? And like, no one really wants that, you know. And like, it's been rough the last couple weeks. I feel bad having guests on. I'd be like, hey, you want to like relive some trauma together, you know? Because like, it's the last couple weeks have just been bashing Gold Dust. They leave all their bashing to microaggressions this week, which, you know, okay, sure. We live with that, don't we, folks? But we start off, yeah, right? We start off with no Softcore Sunny this week, finally. the last couple weeks has just been content warning and then Softcore Sunny. And, you know, as much as I love Sunny, it was getting really fucking uncomfortable. We're getting real uncomfortable. Why is she naked in a bathtub talking about how we went for almost a whole hour? There were signs to bring back a classic. There were signs that maybe this, Linda McMahon's going to be the Department of Education. God damn it.
It's fine. It's fine. It's whatever.
Everything's fine. I've been trying to go as long as I could without doing it, but you know, fuck. It's there. But yeah, they're still doing the Raw band. Woo. Thanks to the way they produced these things back in the day, the band is going to be on TV for at least 3 more weeks, I think. Because they do a live show and then record. So, like, the last week was a live show and they have the live Raw band. It's like, oh, fuck, yeah. We're going to have to deal with this for at least a month before they realize this was a bad idea, huh?
It's true.
Oh, at least I hope it's not that long.
I don't know. I'll admit that there are some things that I just didn't understand about going back to that writing and the production. But, you know, they tried things.
And that's the era that they're in right now. You put the nail to the head there, Liz, I'd say.
You know, and you know, like the, because with everything that's going on, and you look back at this week and the surrounding decade, and there's so much, but I gotta say, they have never stopped just trying things. They will throw shit at the wall every day just to see what sticks. And you know what? Some of the craziest stuff does. And that's and then some of it doesn't. And you're like, why does this feel like the Letterman show?
But that's wrestling, baby. Like, that's what I love about it. It's improv down to the writing. And they like to tell you, oh, well, no, we're planning months ahead, you know, Triple Paul thinking about as all the investors and shit. Like, you know, no, we write out months ahead, blah, blah, blah. No, you fucking don't. This is professional wrestling. If you go out there and the crowd tells you it sucks, you change it next week. You know, because this is still vaudeville. You know, it's right. A live show. Yeah.
And you know what? And it's never, the energy of that has never changed. I have never seen a show from my very first pay-per-view to I could pull up whatever happened last week. And you will never see a show that lacks energy. I've seen major sold out concerts that didn't pull people in as hard as wrestling did and does.
So they
get to keep throwing shit at the wall because
it works. It works. It, that's the medium.
Somebody is loving it. Somebody is loving it. I mean, whether it's because you see, you know, Razor Ramon like just comes on stage and completely overshadows Hunter
and just everything around him. Yeah,
because everyone's huge. Like, fuck yeah. Or if it's, you know, Randy Savage,
Lord of Man, our biggest boy,
right? Yeah. Like, just, and I mean, there's something about being brought into wrestling at the time of like the Randy Savage and the Hulk Hogan, the pre super cycle Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Wow, that I don't
It's superheroes. It's when wrestling was superheroes, which is what it's like in other parts of the world.
I was actually going to say, which is if you go to the East, you have superhero wrestling.
Yeah, Japan's all about superheroes to the point where Tiger, Tiger Mask, was a huge thing. And that's literally was based on a manga and like in an anime that they made. And they just brought him to life. And it's Misawa. It's like one of the best to do it. Like some more than one. There's been like, what, 4 or 5 Tiger Masks, and they're all amazing.
It's a literal
superhero.
And I love the fact that it is so global. And not only that it is, but that wrestling has actually they've looked at it and gone, oh, we need to incorporate this. They weren't as slow to be on top of. I mean, and they were still too slow for me, but they weren't as slow to be on top of, oh, we need to bring this here.
We got to do something with this.
We need to showcase this because this is going to be profitable for us. This is going to be good for us.
And you can see those waves come and go. And I love when you can look back and take a look at the big picture of it as a 100-year-on business now.
Yeah.
It's really wild. It's a living entity. It's a living story that folds out in real time.
Yes.
So good. But, speaking of, they're living everything out in real time. I caught something that I needed to write down. There is a sign in the crowd for Raw that says Raw is War. And that is the first time that I have seen or heard that phrasing. And I'm wondering, did they plant that guy or did they steal his
did they take
it? Yeah.
I mean, and either is equally as likely. No, baby, you cannot steal my cord. Sorry, somebody found me.
Oh, buddy.
It's great until he mutes me.
Oh, no. Okay, well, we'll keep that in mind.
We're good. If I suddenly disappear, though, nudge me.
Yes.
I'm either listening really, really carefully.
Or active pet. Yes. All right.
The baby has found me. Anyway.
Noted. So, speaking of various dogs, though, Bulldog versus Diesel for actual graps starting. And I'm okay with this as far this could be not a bad match, to be honest. Like, these two are awful. I will always feel weird with Babyface Diesel, though. I don't like it. he's got to be an asshole. I don't like when people like him. He's not a likable person.
Right. That's actually one of my favorite things about wrestling, period, is when the person that they is how good they are at painting those contradictions.
Right.
I feel like that is core to it. And without those contradictions, wrestling would die.
absolutely.
You're right. People should not like him. But also, I'm really glad that they do that and that people think of that when they're creating their personas and when they're
absolutely
developing these personalities that they're seeing. It totally surprised me though when I first started, because again, I'm this point in and I just graduated from high school, so I would have either just turned 17 or been 16, and I'm seeing these things and I'm totally believing that these people are supposed to be a good guy or a bad guy, and I keep finding myself drawn to, like, well, Razor Ramon, let's just because he was there, it's relevant.
we're not going to judge on this podcast just because I know Scott Hall to be a terrible person. And not Cuban, cannot stress this enough.
I didn't know. And at the same time, I found myself having very strong feelings
about
these
the bad guy
athletes and especially the bad guy. And I've had favorites over the year, but he was one of my first, please don't eat my pants. He was one of my first. but then back to the writing. If you go back to that, the Raw of this night, when he's just wailing on Hunter, right? And Hunter was totally in his posh era. And then Hunter 3 Kid comes out and like
Connecticut Blue Blood. Yeah.
And then the writing of, hey, now we're going to create the distraction because Hunter has to win, but no one is going to buy this without a little bit of without a little flair, and so they bring it in, and I did, I had that moment of, oh, well, that shit, he should have won that match. Like, and even right? now, even
it's
knowing.
It's working. Yeah.
Right? Exactly. Like, you can absolutely know what is going on in the world of wrestling and still want to believe.
Yeah, get want drawn in if it's yourself. Done right. Yeah.
Yeah. And after, and it holds up. In fact, it holds up better if you get drawn in, because otherwise, knowing the things that you learn over time about these guys,
yeah, again, it could ruin it.
Like, yeah. It would, but
this
like,
is the space we live in on this podcast, basically. and
I'm necessary. A big fan of a liminal space, and I don't think it gets better than holding on to the ability to have a problematic fave and not always be thinking, but they're problematic. Sometimes yeah, you're just allowing yourself to be entertained. And honestly, that's the way the world works.
Yeah. And outside of kayfabe, I'm going to let them know they're a piece of shit. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Like, I love Ric Flair's work. I can't wait to celebrate his death. It's going to be so good. It's going to be Kissinger. Like, that's going to be Wrestle Sky's Henry Kissinger when Ric Flair finally croaks. Holy
and honestly,
it's
how
so
has
good.
He not?
Oh my God. Well, I mean, technically he did once in the ring in his last match. I guess he like,
that's true.
Oh God. Well, that's so sad. We'll get to him. We're still on Raw. Well,
We're on Raw.
Wait your turn, Flair. Christ. Yep. Oh God. So yeah. back to this match. Crowds behind Diesel. There's actually a fair amount of actual wrestling to start Raw. That feels weird. They're even doing play-by-play on commentary, and I'm like, this is strange. This feels like an actual wrestling show. What happened? There's more intimidating of Jim Cornette. Yoko comes out. That thing's got to get fucky. Sure enough, Yoko does some heel shit and hits Diesel behind the ref's back. Storytelling. The fight continues. Yoko and Jim discuss which Wendy's they want to go to on the way out of town. You know, standard corny talk. They're talking about doing a show in Indiana, and Lawler does a racism. It's been 6 days since the last incident. We got to reset the clock. Yeah. Huge anti-Nitro banner on the barrier to the crowd, though. I thought it was like a goddamn banner drop, like an activist action.
I know. Exactly.
I was like, holy shit, do I know those guys? Like, what the fuck? And it's like, fuck the big boys. Raw is good. Fuck you, Ted. I'm not mad kind of shit. And I was like, all right, that had to be a plant. but the match goes on. Corny distracts the official so Yoko can come out and hit Diesel with a leg, but he moves and Bulldog gets smush faced like his namesake is how I put it. And you know, it works. We love our smush faced doggos around here. but that's the end of that. Quick little opener. That match went exactly how I assumed it would go.
right. It was definite. Yeah, if you had stumbled into it, you'd have been like, oh, this is the opener.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's a curtain jerker if right, I ever seen one.
Yeah, okay, so we're warmed up now.
Yeah, just warmed up enough for Doc Hendricks. God, Jesus, fuck. Okay, yay. We have a free bird. He mentions legal action against them being put out by the billionaire Ted skits. And I just want to remind everyone, these are grown adult men.
No, they aren't. They just look
they're just wearing grown adult men's suits. Yeah, it's... Oh,
men underoos. Grown adult underoos. Men underoos.
Underoos with superheroes on them. They are boss babies. We get Brett talking some shit with a black eye. Canadian hero.
But as a Canadian, you know...
Oh, you are Canadian.
I am. I'm from Vancouver Island. I'm a Victoria girl.
Oh, no, you're supposed to tell me this or it's entrapment.
No, I'm an island girl.
Oh, well, hello. Island times. Hello.
I have been here. I think I have been here long enough to lose my accent. But I only just keep gaining new ones. You should have heard me right after I learned to live in Utah for a while. But
you're just catching them all, Liz. That's all it is.
I am. But it'll be confusing for people, which I love, right? Not great for voice acting, but other than that, it's fabulous. Great at a party.
If you ever get a role that needs some Minnesota, I know a girl. I can let you all know all about that there.
You know, it's funny because you sound the most like my relatives, which is nice because it makes me a little homesick to be talking to you, even though you're not actually from, you know, Winnipeg.
Yeah. Wisconsin, Minnesota, Winnipeg. It's the same general area.
Sure.
It's the same flavor of white is what it's all the same white. We do similar things to potatoes. It's that's how you know.
It's welcoming and comforting for someone like me.
Well, happy to help. Well, then you must have loved this. I get comfort from Brett, because as much as I hate to admit it, he is the root of my aesthetic. I flipped the gender switch and I'm in love with black and pink. And I was like, where did this come from? Oh, right. I'm a Heart Foundation girl through and through. I forgot.
I'd have to say the same though. It's funny because you reminded me that I should probably take notes. I've got some of the funniest notes. But but Bret Hart, it just says, yeah, this was my first wrestling crush. It just says right in my notes. I'm like, yeah, my first wrestling crush. And
Liz, wouldn't be the first guest to come on here and thirst over wrestlers. You will not be the last. It's fine.
No, and I do. I have a whole list of my favorites that goes across years. That goes to where I start seeing some of my favorites when they take off in their acting careers, and I'm like, fuck yes, you go, Angle. You know,
hell yeah! Oh god! Oh, you know,
in my notes, I made sure I reminded myself that Bret Hart was my love,
Canadian hero for the silent girl.
And that's probably part of why, you know, it's part of why, because you don't always get to see the Canadian love. You know, we get, but when we do, they're the best. They're the Bret Harts and the Ryan Reynolds. So there you go.
We get some Owen action too. My preferred Hart, if I'm being honest, we get some Owen action.
I was just thinking about him today.
Anyway, we should get back to not being sad about dead Canadian heroes. Oh Liz, I watched that happen live in real time when I was a kid. That sucked. And to have your parents all the time going, it's fake. I'm like, I'm pretty sure this dude died, Dad. they're pulling away real hard. Doc is coming back from that, I guess I will say I'm excited for Diesel and Brett in a steel cage, because I love me the old, it should still be like the old blue classic steel cage before they started doing like fencing. And like, I'm not gonna be that girl who's always like, oh, it used to be better, but bring back old blue. I love old blue. Things that weren't better, Duke the Dumpster Drossy versus Triple Paul, because Triple Paul is continuing his class warfare arc. First he came for the hog farmers, now he's coming for the union men. This is really fucked up. He literally threw a jobber at this man to escape a trash can. This man hates the working class. It's fucked up.
But if you're gonna, nothing's gonna solidify people like him though.
Oh, so much. Then it really do.
You want to watch us come together. Tell us we're shit.
Yeah, exactly. Now I'm thinking of the election again. So they proceed to. We're not going to. We'll talk about other funnier legal matters. They straight up proceed to show us the cease and desist letter on the billionaire Ted skits. They just put it on the screen. What the fuck is going on? And now they go to a press conference with Ted. And this is just getting so goddamn out of hand. I hate it. So this is all Vince projecting again.
Right.
Yeah. He's accusing Ted of trying to destroy the Fed like Vince did everyone else. And are trying to make him look shitty for doing a capitalism like he did, because he's winning. He's just mad that Ted is capitalizing harder than him. He's mad. You're doing it better, damn it. So this is amazing. Just silly shit. They ask who's going to win between Macho and Hulkster. The Huckster, says it's in his contract that he will never lose. And this is true. This is true facts. I've heard a reading of the contract. So, like, they nailed him there. They really, really got him. Go ahead.
No. I will never get over Hulk Hogan.
It's so wild.
There is so much there that I'm still processing arc of that career.
Yeah, like, let alone the personal
life that I never wanted to know.
None of us did. Everything we know about that man is against our will.
Against, yes. I feel like I was held captive to a reality I did not want to experience on this level very personally, despite the fact that that's all of life.
Pretty much. Yeah, I was going to say that's everything. I never consented to this. What the fuck? Like,
Not a single. Well, okay. There's been a few moments I definitely chose. But
yeah. Well, so, okay. Now we're thinking about how we've had, we can't, all right, we're going to get in trouble. Now think about good moments.
I know, not really all life has sucked.
Yes, I was gonna say I've had fun careers before podcasting, folks. Anyways, finally we get Ted asked for lithium because ableism. This is all sad. Again, grown men fighting on TV about all their money.
Eating it up. Like, yeah, this isn't even a bad night.
No, they both had pretty good nights tonight. It's sad. We come back to Sunny and the Body Donnas, and the return of the full force Godwins. Everyone loses it. Hog farmers were here. And, you know, I think farmers are heroes as much as anyone else. But I worry Sunny's going to get slopped, and I hate this. No good. Jerry makes a diabetes joke right off the bat about wrestling. Okay.
All right, back to my notes.
What do you got on this? Like,
just the mention of Jerry. I was like, I have a note that just says, fucking Jerry.
Fuck this guy. Fuck this guy. Fucking Jerry. Hamster really hit the nail on the head for me, is where it's like, you know, we want Bobby Heenan. It's like, we have Bobby Heenan at home, and the Bobby Heenan at home is Jerry the King Lawler. And it's like, yeah, no, this is nothing good about this. Like, fuck that guy. He sucks. He just sucks the whole time.
Oh, and that's all there is to it. Between the sexism and did he have a list?
Sometimes it feels like he has like a list of all the shit I have to hit.
Right? It felt, and maybe it was just that this night felt especially listy.
Is pretty listy. And again, can't stress enough, this is a better night for this kind of shit than we have been getting. Like, it has been, the people who are still listening to this show, I love you. I can't believe I'm still doing this. It's only been 22 episodes. We have like 5 years of this ahead. And it's just going to get worse. Woo.
You know, and then you just have to, it's all a decision of which bad guy gets to be celebrated for beating the other bad guy. Like, it was kind of the era for that, you know. They really capitalized,
leaning into it. We get a lot of heel on heel. I mean, it's the era of Austin. Like, it's the first, we're coming into the first true era of wrestling anti-heroes,
right?
But before that, it's skip and whatever the fuck they're calling fucking Tom Pritchard, the Body Donnas.
weird
shit.
I do love that this is kind of a transitional phase.
No, we are very much living, speaking of liminal spaces, my dear, like with this whole, this podcast launches into a liminal space. It's so wild. That we are very much in that space. We're pre-NWO, we're pre-attitude.
Mm-hmm. Right?
They're still trying to make new generation a thing.
Yeah, because this brought so many people who were not featured were still brought to my mind, being like thrown back in a time capsule. People like Lita and China and stuff, where I was like the just befores and the just afters and the and the holy shit, you know, there was so much going on that even as something, I mean, I literally just said that this is a constantly evolving system. This is like an organism that is constantly evolving, and yet you still find yourself in those moments where you just suspend it and go, oh, wait, something's about to happen here.
Oh, yeah. And I've talked about before, like, it's like the Matrix. You start to see the code when you watch enough of it.
Yes.
You see where things are coming, and like, it's really great.
And that's what ignites that writer side of my brain. And I know that it's not really the most interesting thing for other people all the time to hear me talk about a story and hear me talk about character development, but I can't help it. That's where it always takes me. And wrestling was one of those places where I've paused because I have had a sort of a storied life myself, and I certainly haven't always been a writer. In fact, about shortly after this, I ended up working in metal fabrication and being in this blue collar space where I felt out of my element. Oh, and yeah. I was always the only woman in the room, and I was young, young. So, yeah. You know, so I was subjected to a lot of things that, that are definitely part of wrestling, but not part of this particular conversation. Yeah. But, you know, it was always one of those things where I would watch this and think, could I have written that?
Yeah.
Could I have written that? No, I would have written this. Or, you know, that nailed it. I would have written it just like that. And
one of the things I love about WrestleSky is when we all let ourselves put the booking hat on and we start just thinking about like where things could go. And sometimes people say the most cursed shit. And it's like, why would you put that into the ether? You know that Triple Ball reads this shit. You know,
I don't know that I want, but I kind of want to. I don't, you know, I don't want to see that, but I would watch it.
Exactly.
And you know, I do love that we get to see these lifers, you know, Triple H, and watch these iterations, these evolutions of someone who is like, no, this is it for me.
Yeah,
this is it. I'm gonna join the family biz because this is it for me. And
he played the long game.
I'll be honest, I have had so many moments where I was like, "Are you two like a couple?" I mean, I know you have children together, but are you a couple, or are you a wrestling couple?
Yeah, are you like a business couple?
Are you? Yeah, yeah, are you? Because then you see, who am I thinking? Russo? No. Anyway, I'm going to get myself distracted, so I won't let myself go there anyway. Well, but have the people who are not couples who are couples, and then you have the people who are couples on and off, and then you have the people who are couples but aren't. And it's fun to watch that because honestly, it all just blends together. It's like a milkshake at this point.
And we're getting into the era here of them leaning into it even harder. And oh, God. But, you know, right now we're still in the cartoony stuff. And like, Sunny's going to be coming up on her super not sexist era of managing whoever has the tag team titles.
Yes.
Which as a kid, I loved. I was like, no, that's a great bit. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I didn't see how they were trying to be awful about it. I was just like, no, that makes sense. You know, like that's pragmatic.
Right. Like
hot girl, I want to be with the guys that have the time. Yeah, that makes sense. Why am I thinking about being a hot girl? I'm 8. And you know, all this will make sense. Like, I know. Yeah. I'm a hot girl now.
You know what? I want to be a hot girl.
Yeah, everybody wants to be you are a hot girl. Everyone wants to be a hot girl.
I love that people think so. I really do. But honestly, just not. I'm making peace with that too, with not being what everybody sees.
There's a bit of that. Kayfabe.
Because I come from a family of hot girls, so I can't actually say that I'm not, because I have sisters, right?
It's in your blood.
Right, but at the
second generation hot girl.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm like, but what if I'm not?
That's
what if
fine.
I want to be a slug?
Well, you know? Right now we're talking about, we're going to go off the crazy trail rails or crazy train rails, because I'm sitting here like, well, I'm into slugs. Like some of my favorite people are slugs.
Right? Like I just feel like I am happy accepting that too. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
But as far as this goes, like I have just like, and they've never cured the sexism. They haven't cured the sexism by bringing in the women's title. They haven't cured the sexism by, like,
women's revolution was such bullshit. And like, well into the Trump administration when they did that shit, like how long that took, it's always been bad.
Yeah. And like, all they did was make it sparkly. They just made sparkly sexism. That's all they did.
The fact that it was the Divas title for as long as it was, with the literal sparkly butterfly belt.
Oh, I know.
Oh my, like
I would
a
absolutely
Bratz
put
doll.
that belt on my wall, though. I'm not gonna.
Well, fucking A. Okay, look, let's not get crazy here, okay? I'm not saying it wasn't aesthetic. It's just, but no.
It's certainly not a movement, not really, but it is an aesthetic,
Yes.
and that's what, and I feel like that's what they capitalize on. I mean, here I can play Nitro in the back, in the background while I'm writing, and I can look up at any given moment and be like, hell yeah, that's exactly what I was expecting to see when I look up, because it is. It's like they've perfected aesthetic, and where they may have their moments where something doesn't hit as well, but I would almost guarantee that if they had played it 5 minutes sooner or 5 minutes later, it would have worked.
Yeah, sure enough.
And it kind of blows my mind to think that way, because so much of my life has been spent thinking about things like good writing and bad writing, right? Good shows and bad shows, good ideas and bad ideas.
And
But I look at
sometimes
this
they
and I'm like, sometimes it's just, is it timely? And that is something that I'll say the writers do a really good job of. Like, they really have figured out how to create the time for what
Yeah.
they're writing.
And
And
this was a better episode of Raw, in my opinion, than we've had lately, too.
honestly, like I watched a Nitro, I did, and then I watched the Raw 3 times.
Oh, you watched the. Oh, wow.
Like
This might be a first. This might
I
be a
watched it, and then I
first.
watched it again, and then I was like, okay, but I need to watch it again, because I just was, I did, it pulled me right back
They really got
to
you with the storytelling over the
they.
athletics. I like this. I like this
They.
switching it up of our normal demographic here.
You know, it's just, it pulled me back to my first pay-per-view in my first room, where I was the youngest person in the room because I was dating someone way too old for me, and
Like
it
you
was
do.
like I was encouraged to do as someone who was raised Mormon, as a matter of fact. Like, it was, and boy, was that not a Mormon room, and boy, did I get an introduction to a lot of substances that I will not mention here.
Yes.
But I did, you know,
Statute of
that was.
limitations is fine. But yeah, no.
Is it up? Is it up? Am I good?
Yeah, I was gonna Google quick, pause.
But it was like this, the Raw. I mean, I almost want to go back to it and just play it in the background so that I can pause at moments and go, oh, that's right, that happened. You know, just because it just pulled me back to a time when I was like so innocent of what was happening, even in front of my eyes, not even just behind the scenes, but like I hadn't learned enough to go, wow, he really said that. Wow, they're really doing that. But like, I Gold Dust came out, and I was like, oh my God, how had I forgotten Gold Dust?
I literally will never forget. Gold Dust affected me.
And
but
not.
like, no, looking back on stuff with adult eyes is like absolutely one of the cool slash terrifying parts of doing this show. Like, case in point, this match. The can't the Donnas versus the Hog Farmers here. The whole time I'm just thinking about like the underlying story of this match is Sonny's getting assaulted.
Right.
The whole thing, it's all Hillbilly Jim chasing her with the slop bucket and all this shit. But finally Phineas hits the slop drop to win, and then Sonny gets cornered by these three large hillbilly dudes. And like, I'm instantly terrified because of my own life experiences. And then like, but then boom, it's just a do-si-do, thank fuck. And like, oh my God, give it a few years and that's gonna go an entirely different way because they're gonna feel empowered. And it's really wild. But like that, like, yes, the storytelling is great, but the story they're telling is still horrible.
Exactly, and they do that so
And they do it really
yeah.
well, and that's why they got away with it for so long.
Yeah, and then I mean, and then you then throw this up against what is happening literally right now, and it's like.
WWE Hall of Famer, second time president. God fucking damn it. All of it, shout out to Josie, as we very often do. All of it is connected. I picked a hell of a time to start doing this show, I tell you.
Boy.
Right. But we get a video package and X for exposition times, because that's how they do it on Raw. They won't talk about it, they'll just show you. Undertaker getting a rematch for the title, and I'm like, okay, it's a thing they like to do. They'll run the pay-per-view match back on Raw a few weeks after the fact, and at least they're not just replaying the match itself, because they've been doing that and I fucking hate it. Instead though, they just replayed the beginning of last week's Raw, and I'm bored. like already, like I like Rob lost me here. Vader killed everyone and got suspended. Moving on.
Right. Yeah. And that one actually cracked me up. I was like,
yeah, no, it was okay, then. It was great last week when it was happening live. It was my favorite part of Raw. But it's just I hate that they feel like they can get away with doing this instead of like
it's comic book writing is what it is. And it's not even current comic book writing, it's old comic book writing back
previously
when they'd throw in the, you know, Cyclops, who is a member of the X-Men, and right, because they had to because they were constantly assuming they'd have to bring someone up to speed for their very first issue, even if
and that's what they're hoping for. They're hoping for new viewers every week. So yeah, that's all right. But that's all they've set up corny smugly sitting by while his lawyer insists that Vader be reinstated. But then my favorite part, possibly my favorite part of the show, is they put up a fucking graphic with a P.O. box for people to send get well soon postcards to Gorilla, and it's just Vader over like his dead body. And I just die. It's just Vader over a dead Gorilla Monsoon. Like, if you want to send him get well soon cards, I'm like, all right, this is graphic design is my passion. This is great. Precisely. They're Kevin Dunn gets Oscars. God. Finally, this bullshit is over. So they come back to Vince introducing the new interim president, and holy fuck, it's Rowdy Roddy Piper. Whoa, this is a big deal. I did not realize that we keep stumbling into historic Raws.
Yeah, right. I told you that it was a time machine.
It's all happening. Yeah, it's that liminal space where everything's starting to really take off, because now I remember why he's here. One of the baddest asses in the business, for folks who don't know. Also, horrible human being. Just top tier shit stain. Good stuff. Love him. But hey, he's out. Yeah, whatever. This is out to rule. Of course, the first thing that Piper does is he asks if he's Vince's boss. And already this whole bit is worth it. Because, like, these two fucking hate each other in real life. These two hate each other. So all of this is underlying with Roddy going, at any moment, I'm going to rip your balls off in front of this crowd and they will cheer me for it. And, like, yay. But Roddy goes off. He reminds us that he did a hate crime on Jimmy Snuka. And he reminds us that he did a hate crime on Cyndi Lauper. And that he never faced consequences, and the crowd roars. I wish I were kidding, but that's basically what he said. and it gets worse, because the reason Roddy is here is to do hate crimes. It's what Roddy does. So he tells us that the roster is confused, maybe in a phase, if you will. And he is here to straighten things out. And basically, we're going to see Roddy try to beat the gay out of Gold Dust. Happy Monday, kids! Happy Monday. This is fine. But it gets a little bit better because he belittles Vince. That's always good.
I do love those moments.
I really love it. Roddy tries to talk politics because he's president, so that works. Waller makes fun of a goofy looking kid because it's low hanging fruit. Fuck him once again.
Seriously, like the entire thing, I was like, what would have been lost?
Yeah, nothing. No, like. Seriously, that's the story of Jerry the King Lawler on commentary so far, is nothing would be lost if he just wasn't here. And like, you could just cut him out and it would be fine. Maybe someday. They're always going in and fucking with the audio and shit nowadays, and like, because they can't play songs because they lost their rights or whatever. So like, just cut him out. We don't need him anymore.
Just go woke.
Yeah, go woke. Yeah, they never will. Paul's a Nazi, damn it. All right, to end this strangeness, though, Roddy says that everyone has to pay the piper, and you're no different. And he proceeds to pick Vince up in a fireman's carry and airplane spin him. This is great. I admittedly am a mark. I pop for this. This makes me happy.
Yeah, I do tend to, I do ask myself from time to time about Vince. Like, he's clearly... this is his thing. I mean, there is no question that he is in this because he loves it, not just because it's money. Like, that is one thing I would never question.
It's an obsession. It's an obsession.
But are you, but time after time, I would watch these things happen and go, you're a failed wrestler. That's how you became the boss.
Yep.
You're a failed wrestler. And I love watching you be a failed wrestler because you're a piece of shit.
Yes, and that's absolutely, he wanted nothing more than to be superstar Billy Graham. Like, that's what he wanted to be, and he just never going to be.
Mm-hmm. And watching him and going, I swear to God, this radicalized me. Because this is it.
Tell me,
I was
tell
like,
me about
wait a second. The boss is always the piece of shit who can't do dick. Right? Yes! Like, that's how this works. And I was, of course, I mean, I'm young here. I am not, but I'm already going, my boss can't do shit either.
exactly. Unionize, folks. My gosh. Jesse Ventura was right the whole time. But we come back and I pop again, though, from the break, because it's the first Mankind vignette. It's the first Foley. Hey, Foley is here. I am screaming. He's not even in a mask yet. They don't show his face at all. It's so creepy.
And I actually really love Mankind.
Mankind is in my top three. Like, him and Goldust, like, formed me as a human. Like, Mankind was the one who, like, before I understood that I was very mentally ill and neurodivergent, like, Mankind was, like, my representation. If it's okay to be a weird little fucking creeper guy, like he just wants to hide in the basement and play with his pet rat, that's fine. You could be that. And then Goldust was there to tell me it's okay if you want to be a flamboyant girl type creature. That's also fine. You can be people's ass.
When you are literally the tallest person in the ring.
Yeah. And if they try to make
we're going
to
put you on list too, by the way.
Yeah.
They're going to be hot. And sparkly.
Exactly. Yeah, no. So, like, that shit stuck with me, you know, because, like, they were the weirdos in the face of people being mad at them for being weirdos. And they focus on his missing ear that he lost to Vader in Germany, that WCW refused to take advantage of, and that's, like, why he left the company. Is like, one of your top guys took my ear permanently from me and they didn't want to make a blood feud out of it, and he's like, all right, I'm leaving. Like, if you guys can't take advantage of this,
literally can't take advantage of the most real
thing
that anyone will ever give you.
Yeah, and he was just so mad that they couldn't do it, so he left and jumped ship. He was in ECW for a while and now he's here. He had one of my favorite bits in ECW because he's this hardcore guy. He was the king of the death match at that point. But he went into ECW where everyone's hardcore and said, no, hardcore wrestling that's messed up. That's stupid kid shit and blah, blah. And like, so it became the anti-hardcore guy to make people hate him. So he would leave with all this hate to go into WWF and like just masterful building of heat. Like, just so good. Yeah. That's the thing.
You have to know the long game. And
because he talk about writing and stuff as like a booker. But when you are,
he was right, you know,
was right. And when you're an individual wrestler, when you're in between companies or having to understand that, like, you could lose your spot at any time, you have to be your own writer. And like, he understood the assignment, so much. And it's going to just be so good. Jerry tells us his name is Mankind and I'm like, fuck yeah. And we are on to the main event. Finally, Yoko versus HBK. The man is undeniably popular. And in Yoko's heyday, this could be a banger, but like, this isn't Yoko's heyday. I imagine it's going to be kind of meh. Sean makes sure the crowd knows who is good guy and who is bad guy. And it's so he does this whole thing, like, points at himself, yay, points at Yoko, boo. He does it like five times. I'm like, all right, we get it, dude. But like, just showing us right away that they're just, this whole match is going to be them milking time. They lock up and sure enough, it starts with a rest hold and I'm like, okay. Like, all right, here we go. But yeah, Yoko throws Sean off eventually and he goes flying and I'm like, this will be the whole match. Sean's going to like hit everything super hard and it's great. He does one little thing where he sneaks up on him and grabs his butt and the crowd goes nuts for the HR violation. Yoko gets knocked out of the ring and him and Corny and Owen Hart like talk about it while Sean goes and kisses babies and shit. It's all just very it knows what it's doing. We come back from commercial because it's very not live Raw. They can like time it perfectly and we actually get Sean doing this awesome like moonsault off the top rope and I'm like, all right, I gotta hand it to him, that was pretty. Yeah, I hate it. They do a bunch of heel shit, blah, blah, blah. Owen is sinister and it's wonderful. This match is like a lot of blah, blah, blah for me because it's like cookie cutter, but it is what it is. And it's all right. It's slow. It's a lot of Yoko standing there while everyone else beats on Sean, and he sells it as long as he can, basically. I'm very disappointed in this main event. But yeah, finally,
and the thing is, they know they're going to do that to you. They absolutely know you know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, and they do it anyways, and we eat it up. And it's...
And then we get mad about it, and then we come back from
it. Yeah, exactly. And thus is being a wrestling fan. The pain and the shame.
The levels of emotional manipulation that go into this...
It's wild.
...are absolutely, like, this is the best propaganda machine ever.
They really nailed it, and we're living it now.
They taught propaganda to propaganda machines. Like, this is, and it's amazing, because you get so mad, and it's like, you know when you have an ad for a mobile app game now, right? And and you watch it, and they play it poorly?
Yep.
And you get so mad because you could do it better, and you just can't help yourself, even if you know. You absolutely know that they're doing it on purpose to make you download the game just to do it, but that's what they did with wrestling. Like, that started here. They would make you so mad.
It's carnival barking. It's all way back. It's all the same shit repackaged, and it's so good. And it drives me nuts because it's like, it's awful and it's ruining our world, but also, like, I can't help but go, God, what a good grift. I get it. Well done.
You absolutely have my emotions by the balls, and you're going to just drag them around a bit. Okay.
And that's fine. And usually I got to pay for that.
Yeah. Please take me by the short and curlies.
Yes.
And, dog walk me around the room a few times. It's fine.
It's going to be that kind of episode, folks. Strap in and strap on. All right, there. We come back from a commercial to see Yoko miss his big leg drop and sell it like he will never get up again. But Sean goes for a big splash, and sure enough, Yoko rolls, and Sean makes the face like, oh, what the fuck? And I just wrote down that Yoko rolled so Samoa Joe could calmly walk.
I love that. Oh, I've had those thoughts so many times during this, but that, yes. Yes,
that's absolutely. It's my favorite Samoa Joe bit, where he just walks away from the guy flying on him, and you get the what the fuck face, and it's just like, oh, look, early bits of this. I wonder if that's part of where he got it from. But it's so good. They get back up, but now it's a fist fight. Sean's chopping Yoko down, but he won't fall. Takes two clothesline. He old big guy bit. And like Sean tries the top rope and Yoko catches him in a bear hug. And I bet that just felt amazing. Like on my back cracked watching it. I want that for me. Courtney distracts him. Owen goes for a kick, but Sean, to kick on Sean, but he ducks and he hits Yoko. And it's like, all right, here we go. Here's the finish. Sean gets the sweet chin music for good measure and gets the win. Yay. Now there's trouble in Camp Cornette. Yoko and Owen are fighting. And here comes Bulldog to get his brethren to calm down. And I smell a fracturing. I have to begrudgingly love Cornette's Marilyn Monroe tie. It took me this long to notice. But that on the red shirt, like, the dude's a piece of shit. But sometimes he really pulls together a fit. And I hate it. but I loved it. It was good.
I love that. Yes.
It was so great. And sometimes when he matches colors with his tennis racket, I'm like, God damn it, dude. Oh, you're good. You're good in this one way. But here comes Diesel to help his buddy Sean. They clear the ring, blah, blah, blah. We have to hear from Corny before we leave, unfortunately. He gets one homo joke in on Sean and Diesel, says that they got to do tag team next week. That's great. And later that night, probably in reality, given the way how they do this, but the dudes do a little finger wiggle. Oh, you scared? And that's raw. I can't believe you watched that three times. Again, I'm not judging. You know, I don't have a punishment need, but like that was rough for me.
You know, it was nice to remember people that I had forgotten because they didn't maintain the public attention for as long.
Yeah,
but they were really great at what they did.
Oh yeah,
like, and not everybody could be a Shawn Michaels, but. Oh, yeah. Come on, Yokozuna.
Yoko, and that's what I mean. Yoko in his day was amazing. And it's right. We're coming into the end of his career, really. But I've said many times that like we're looking at the best Scott Hall right now. Like Razor Ramon in this era and right before it is the best he will ever be. And to think that like he hasn't even done NWO and all the stuff that he's probably most famous for.
Yeah. Oh
Those
gosh,
matches aren't that
NWO.
great. Yeah, it's
No,
coming.
they aren't. And again,
AO.
that was that. You know, my kids say that still. Like that's, and they have no idea who he is. My littles say it, probably because they've heard us. They've heard because
That's
they've heard
so
us,
funny.
right? They've heard me. They've heard
Yeah,
their father. And
AO. I can't help it. It's so iconic and it makes me giggle every time.
I just yeah. It the fact that these things are absolutely permanently part of who we are.
Oh yeah, whether we like it or not. And
Like
like
they,
Nitro does that even harder
oh my gosh, I know.
because
I'm
it's all
actually
the
glad we're
older
ending on Nitro.
guys.
I'm glad I chose this.
Yes.
I'm glad I chose to go this way. But
Yes, absolutely. You good thought. Good time.
but yeah, like I just Razor Ramon, and here's the thing is I can't help but wonder because you see a lot of this tightness afterwards. I'm like, people really loved Razor.
They
Like
really did.
really
Him, he
loved.
was, and he was supposed to be the bad guy. Like he started
Yeah.
as the bad guy, but at this point he is full face and everyone loved him. He's over.
Yeah. And
And
anyway.
they got him doing a crybaby match with Shawn Michaels. It's the return of Chekhov's fucking baby bottle, or with Sean Waltman. Oh my God. Yeah, I didn't mention that in the notes. That's something we have to look forward to, I guess. The next pay-per-view, they're doing a baby bottle match, and whoever loses has to dress like a baby.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Diaper baby.
Woo.
You know what? Yeah, we're just gonna.
Where we're gonna go, skip past that Nitro. Okay, there's plenty of babies on Nitro too. Capacity crowd, live from Canton, Ohio. There's babies out there, you know. Obligatory Pepe talk. Is this Count Pepe? I don't know what he is wearing. But I love the dog. He is
I
very
do.
I can't help it.
Give me more pet props because look at that
Yeah.
little face.
I know it works. I'm easy and it works. He's very annoyed by his daddy's boisterous commentary, and me and Pepe are in agreement here.
Yes.
Yes, but we start our graps with the Nature Fuckboy and Jimmy Hart, the Memphis homunculus. Oh, these two. I do say I begrudgingly need Flair's pink and purple robe. That is the robe I deserve, and it's easily the best thing I've ever seen him wear. I needs it.
Knowing his story, like his off you're right, that rose just amazing.
Right?
Anyway,
I mean, I know we're gonna get
it's the
distracted.
sleeves. But anyway, for me, it's the sleeves. It's the feathered sleeves. Anyway, we're good. We're good. But
Purple
knowing his
flowers for me.
story, and knowing where he comes from, knowing what was done to him as a
Yeah.
child, I was just like, did you have the option of ever not being an absolutely atrocious human being?
No, and that's the thing, is like a lot of these guys come by it honestly.
Yep, like as a partial adoptee, as someone who has experienced some of those adoptee experiences, and knowing, like just knowing where he fell into this horrible system right at the beginning of it, right at its inception, right? And I'm
Yeah.
like, you know, I don't know that you got to really had a choice. I mean, you do. Everybody has a choice, but sometimes I wonder if we really realize that when we're
Yeah.
set up with the circumstances we're set up with. But you know, he sure did a lot with it.
Yeah, he did. I think also of he's not on the show, but Jake the Snake. Like horrible. Like everyone has known that that guy is just like, I mean, he was pretty much the inspiration for the Aronofsky film, The Wrestler. And like his relationship with his daughter was a big inspiration for that aspect of the film, especially. Absolute piece of shit, but if you know his life story, I won't go into it in detail because I don't want to have to put the content warning. If you want to know, yeah, if you want to know, go look it up.
Just there is a story.
Jake the Snake is a piece of shit, and I don't blame him at
Yep.
all for any of it
Right?
because
I think
he's a second
understanding.
generation monster is what he is.
Yep.
Yeah.
And yeah, like exactly. Like you don't have to accept the behavior, but you can understand how it can happen.
Yep. No, and
You
I
know?
say that about my own mental health, and I say it a lot about fellow white person here, our relationship to white supremacy is, it might not be my fault, but how it's handled is absolutely my responsibility. Yep. So like, is that fair? No. Is it the way it is? You're damn right. So let's
but,
go.
But looking at the, but looking at this, I'm, you know, watching, you know, we're talking, you know, Hulk Hogan's intro, right? And he's just, how could you not recognize this as the literal modern model for toxic masculinity?
Oh, the, just all
the system,
of it.
Just the system of wrestling, right? Like, not
oh, wrestling, like, all of it. Yeah, but all,
right?
Of it in general.
Look at it, like, you're like,
right, what Josie refers to as Vince's kids, like, were this, uh-huh, my generation was raised, yep, on, this is what we were told masculinity, yeah, was supposed to be. And they wonder why I threw it away.
And on, right. And then on screen and off, you're literally the worst human ever.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's no, like, cool, like saying, well, I'm faking it. No. It's worse in real life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least we're getting Hogan out of the way right away. That usually they tease us with the pain, yep, and until the end, but he's here right away. But first, Jimmy Hart comes out, and I'm like, God damn it. Again, he's here for both of them. He's somehow like, I hate it. But yeah, he comes out, and we have Elizabeth and her gal pals, which I actually really love, and her dress, Liz's dress. Mm-hmm. This is going to be the story of Nitro for me. Is the fashion. Oh my God, I love it. It's winning for wardrobe alone.
I mean, really.
Seriously. I would. Oh my God, you would absolutely kill in that dress. I'm just
saying. Yeah, I would. Yes, I would.
You really would.
I spent a lot of time, you know, this era spent a lot of time looking at these women and going, okay, but.
Yes. I think I've said before, what was it? Like, I wanted to be China and I wanted Sunny to be my girlfriend.
That's a good setup. I think I think it would have been the opposite.
Polar opposite.
Because, well, I absolutely wanted to wake up next to China. I just did.
Well, geez.
Between China.
All right, and what about Sable? Well, no, fuck Sable. Back in the day, sure, but
no,
now,
no, China and Lita.
Lita, we haven't gotten a Lita and Trish. Yeah. Talk about Canadian beauties there.
Yeah. There was a lot of that in wrestling for me, and I know that I'm not the only one. Like, I
there
know
may
that
or
this
may
was
not have been a board. Yeah, there may or may not have been a very, very large poster of Trish Stratus on my wall for several reasons, as it turns out.
I think my partners too.
Yeah, well, she was very popular. We all wanted Stratus faction. Mm-hmm. But back in '96, Bobby's making fun of Kevin Green, Mongo's football friend, because he says he's not here. Ha ha ha. He can't be here because he's busy signing back up for Pop Warner. Bobby's on fire. Mongo says that he may be here, and then Bobby immediately starts talking about how great he is and he loves him. I'm like, yay, Bobby. Back in the ring, though, Flair is getting all kinds of heel heat. Ohio is not Flair country. And I have this moment in my notes where I realize this is just a ring full of people I hate. Right. So Flair and Hulk Hogan. I'm like, God damn it. Can we find a way for both these guys to, like, somehow slip a move and end up paralyzed? Like,
just two stretchers.
Just two stretcher jobs. Think of the ratings. Help me here. But they got the crowd behind them, though. There's no judging for taste. This is just a standard Flair getting the shit beat out of them while Hogan no sells everything match. It's all right. They run the card down, though, and it's going to be a good week, I tell you. We get another WCW magazine promo, and I feel like I'm microdosing. It's great. That the 90s commercials that we've been getting hit with have been fucking wild. On the Patreon, we did a Clash of the Champions watch along, and they left a bunch of the old commercials in.
Yep.
What a fucking trip, folks.
I love that this mirrors my notes so much, because I actually mentioned this.
Yeah.
Why does watching it with commercials make it feel so much more real? Like, if you just
know.
You're just there. It just took you right back. Thank you.
This whole experience is just cementing that you and I are meant to be oomphies. Like, we have too much in common. This is great. So Bischoff calls Jimmy the maggot of the South, and I agree. That's always good. We come back from a commercial break, and Flair got all of his offense in while no one was watching, as per Hogan's contract, apparently. like that, I took note of that because I was like, that's just too good. Like, yep. Like the fact that it lined up that well, exquisite. But Hogan will not be held back by any heel antics, brother. Thankfully, Flair has more signature bumps he can take. I kind of got to hand it to the art of wrestling. These two have done this match like 5 times on camera since we started this show, and they still have the crowd completely entertained for like 10 plus minutes at this point. And it's just wild. And even me, I'm like, I know everything that's going to happen, but even I'm like, yeah, this is good. This is classic shit. Fuck. But Bobby tells us that Ms. Elizabeth will put the boots to you, and I, for one, would like to sign up for this service. Mm-hmm. Just take note of that. Write that down. Finally, almost mercifully, Flair gets Hogan in a figure four, rest hold, as opposed to finisher. Hogan reverses it, though. Flair has to let it go. It's the whole thing. In the continued story of this match, though, for me, is me begrudgingly having to hand it to these guys because I get a beautiful, beautiful vertical suplex that was really well done. And I'm like, damn it, I have to write that one down, fuckers. Bischoff is on fire this week, too. He says Jimmy Hart is like a little brat poking at the gorillas. And that's an image that's going to live with me for a while, is like a little Jimmy Hart at the zoo with like a cotton candy, like talking shit through a megaphone at gorillas. That actually pleases me. But you know, everyone's into something different. Flair goes for a pin and gets pressed off, and I just write, okay, here we go, this is it. Hulk is hulking. He's doing his Hulk thing, the finger point, the three fists, the boot, the leg drop. He will win unless we get horseman fuckery, and here's the horseman fuckery. A very dapper looking Arn Anderson. In the confusion, Arn Anderson tosses Flair Liz's heel, and he uses it on Hogan to win, and like just stabs him in the eye. Real good stuff. Macho Man runs out to look for his friend, and he, again, fashion just looks amazing. I can't help it. The pink shirt with the little frills and the rainbowy pants. Macho is, it's all good. But the camera gets close on Hogan, and he has bladed for the cause. He is giving us a little bit of blood from Liz's high heels. So we get to go to commercial with Bobby lovingly cackling at Hogan's misery. truly beautiful. This is what I watch Nitro for, is Bobby laughing at Hogan's sadness, basically. Fine by me.
Yeah.
It's worth the price of admission. We come back to tag team action, and finally, Meng is free of his, like, random singles matches and random partners for, like, he no longer has to like wrestle with Zodiac or anything like that. The Faces of Fear have arrived. It's Meng and Barbarian. These two rule.
I love them.
I love this tag team. They're one of my all-time favorites.
And I have a font soft spot for tag teams specifically.
Oh yeah.
I'm behind on my tag teams. I need to find out who's like really hot right now. Like who's cooking right now, because that's something I have missed.
Current AEW champs, as far as I know, are still Private Party, and they fucking rule. Check them out. They are super fun. I love me some tag team wrestling. Are you familiar with FTR in AEW?
I am not.
Oh, wow. AEW has a lot of really great tag team wrestling. And there's this one tag team, FTR, that like in my mind their whole thing is that like they are dudes whose special interest is tag team wrestling, and they want to be the Brainbusters. Like they want to be Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard, and that's like their whole thing is like they love, like they come out to like 80s music and they want to be like the 80s badass tag team.
Oh, I want to watch them.
Yeah,
I gotta catch up. I have months and months and months, possibly even a year, because it's just been so crazy trying to move and sell my house and stuff that we just didn't get to do a lot of things. And
oh yeah,
I've missed it. So anyway,
I've seen it. I've been watching. You've had a hell of a journey. I'm happy you're here.
It's been a minute.
Road Warriors. Yeah, to get back on track. Thank you. I was about to go off on another tangent. I was gonna say AEW is coming to Max. So you can all the back shit, so you can go back and watch all the old Dynamites and stuff and pay-per-views and shit. So like that's a good thing. And that, because like AEW is I'm not like the person who does the tribalism shit, but like just objectively, it's better right now, in my opinion. It's just objectively better. But yes, Road Warriors, the Legion of Doom are back. So like, this is great. I'm so fucking excited because this is just a match of beasts. Like it's, it reeks of banger. These are just four large gentlemen who can go. The crowd loses it. This is awesome. There's a reason wrestlers still talk about the Road Warrior pop. Because like these guys at the peak, the crowd reaction they would get is literally the bar at which people still gauge crowd reaction.
Yep.
That's all you need to know about these guys is like they were the tag team. And yeah, good reason. They show us why. Animal hits a huge power slam on Barbarian off the ropes, drops the elbow. Fuck, that had to hurt. Everyone gets a tag out, and it's just like, do-si-do, switch partners. Like everyone new comes in. Hawk and Meng now.
Yep.
And I loved it too, because instantly I was like, oh, these are two like shooters. These are two guys who like get fucked up in bar fights and kill people. This is awesome. Hawk gets his shit in because Meng pile drives him and he just no sells it and proceeds to fuck him up and is like, yay, Hawk's back. Woo. What a rush indeed. Animal back in on Meng. Bischoff does a bit of a transphobia. That's always good. In hyping up his roster, he says there are no RuPaul wannabes on their roster. And to that I say, leave Goldust alone.
Mm-hmm.
You leave my boy alone. And I just want to imagine that he said that line and Dusty Rhodes in the back is like in dusty position, gets on the microphone. Like, you listen here, Mr. Bischoff. That's my boy. That's my girl. That's my boy, girl. Mysterious third thing, baby. I am the American Dream. You shush. And I'm going to just get in his ear. Give it to him, Dusty. Oh, that's such bullshit. Although those two weren't really talking.
But you know, he's checking off that list.
He's checking him off. Yeah, it's 90s. Exactly. He's checking off the list. We have to hit all of the things that make me go, ugh.
And he does.
And he did.
Every time. But anyway.
Every time, and it's fine. Everything is fine. Bobby makes an achy breaky back joke referencing Animal's most recent injury. Mongo says it's achy breaky heart, and Bobby says he doesn't listen to that stuff. Country and Western are the two musics he hates. And I find that funny because it confirms that Bobby Heenan bumps gangster rap in 1996. You heard it here first, folks. So like the NWO's coming. No, he wants NWA. So this match continues to fuck. Barbarian goes for an axe handle off the second rope and Animal like explodes off the mat and clotheslines him out of the air. And I'm just like, yay, I love wrestling. This is so good. He gets the hot take to Hawk, and Hawk does his full like War Games routine where he just comes in and fucks up everybody, complete with a double clothesline spot, and the crowd just appreciates the hits. They're like, yes, this is what we want from you. Kill them. Kill them with your hands. And everything's falling apart, though. Like, it's just the whole match gets all clusterfucky. And it's okay because like they do the bits. Barbarian puts Hawk up on the top rope like he's gonna superplex him, but then Animal catches him from behind and sets him up for the Doomsday Device, and the crowd's just like shitting themselves. But Meng knocks Hawk down, and it was a tease, just the tip of the finisher, not the whole thing. And I was like, I like when they do that. I like when they can tease shit and like draw it out a little bit. So, like, I assume that we're going to get the finisher still by the end of the match, because that's how things would go nowadays. You tease the finisher, and then you give them what they want by the end of it. But no, it turns out, no. The clusterfuck continues, and with very little fanfare, I think it was Hawk, like, sneaks in a pin, and they get a win. And it's like, all right, yeah, cool.
Those ones always confuse me.
Real quick, like.
Like, I get that that's just got to happen sometimes, but it always confuses me because you're like, wait, really?
It felt anticlimactic given given the match they just did. It's like I like when it can work. It works well when it's used correctly, but it felt just very out of place here for an ending given the match.
Now that does not stop me from looking at all four of these men and thinking, I did not spend enough time with men that could throw me around.
You know, I have this thought
because I'm 5'8". I'm not little.
You're old. That's tiny compared to me. I'm a large lady.
Well,
my
sister's like 6 feet tall. So, you know, understandably, I am one of the short ones in my family. But I just look at this and I'm like, man, I dated too many 5'9" men. And all the girls I've dated are like 5'6". So no one has ever been throwing me around. I'm like, man, I understand why I like wrestling so much.
There you go. No, I have that thought at least once a week. And as far as everything else goes, not to be that girl, but may I introduce you to the concept of the tall trans woman? It's really a wonderful thing that we're rolling out now for the new century. It's fantastic. I'm going to get distracted. All right. Anyways, classy though, it's still classy. The match ending this way, I think because of the fact that like they're drawing out the ultimate first doomsday device of them back another week. And I was like, okay, well, this is actually how you would do it back in the day. So I can't be that
right.
Upset.
Right. Exactly. It was literally the tease. That was the whole point.
Turned out the whole match was the tease. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Nowadays, we think of it as like, well, you got to finish the tease by the end of the match. It's like, I don't know. We're playing. This is the fucking Road Warriors. They're going game.
Because you were coming back next week.
Yep. And now I want to come back for more. Exactly.
You'll come back as many times as I want you to.
Exactly. Damn well, please. Again, I'm going to get distracted. But exposition time. Nothing that makes me want to go away harder. With Mean Gene and Boston Bob Taskmaster Kevin Sullivan. And Hugh Morris is here, basically. He's basically the Joker. He's just there, and he laughs at things that aren't funny, and that's it. Kevin talks shit on the horsemen, and like Beetlejuice, here they come. yep. And, like, Arn's looking like a fancy grown-up, and Pillman's looking like a loose cannon. So, you know, there you go. They're sticking to the story. Kevin tells Arn to keep the loose cannon tied down, and Arn says yes. He gets in Pillman's face. He yells at him for not being there, and he's too much of an excited puppy, and he's going to tough love him, I guess, and all this is heterosexual, and that Arn Anderson is not a bear. Don't put in the paper that he's a bear. But he then literally pulls his belt out and is going to beat him. And again, I've been to this club. But all right, Pillman holds him to stop him, and the Gooners attack. they all of this goes crazy. Looks like the horsemen in the dungeon are no longer friendly. They have a scuffle. Arn gets back in the ring with Gene, and he calls out the executive committee. So he's like calling out the bookers, and ooh, that's big break of the kayfabe sort of thing. He wants a match with Kevin and his stooge, and Pillman says he's got us in this mess and he'll get us out. Let's go, blah, blah, blah. And that's like, all right, whatever. We come back from commercial to my wrestle wife, Sister Sherry, and she looks pissed. Understandably so, because they show us Medusa fucked up her wedding. It was very rude, truly. And Gene realizes that he has been used, as Medusa is just using as a distraction to sneak attack from the top rope. Which, you know, good for her. Promos be damned. These ladies are fighting. And, like, these are two of the best to ever do it in women's wrestling, in my in my opinion. So, like, I am, like, ready. Sherry, like, loses her shoes right away. Doesn't stop her. She is fucking shit up. This match is 30 seconds in, and it's already, like, my favorite of the week.
You know what? And it drives me crazy to think that they did not understand. Like, here they look at this. Like, why do you not capitalize on women wrestling? Because you know what's bringing me back is not being sure if I want to date them or want to be them.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Or actually, both. I want to date them and be them. But
the bisexual woman agenda is really just.
I'll admit that that. The pre-commercial bit didn't really grab me. Like, I could not have cared any less.
No, but if you would have let Sherry finish talking before getting attacked, that probably would have held me back. And this whole match is kind of a story of that, because it's great. It's super fast-paced and stuff, and you realize because they only give them, like, a minute and a half match.
Right, and you're but like, it's... oh, why? Because
we all know why. We all know why, Liz. We all know why. But yes, it saddens me. But they give it their all in the meantime. Like, no joke. I think this might be my match of the week in a minute and a half. Because Sherry sells like no one else. She goes up top and Medusa tries to stop her and, like, throw her off. But Sherry, like, catches herself midair and reverses it into a pin for the win. It was amazing. But the crowd, like, never stopped screaming the whole time. The whole match was just a sustained roar from the crowd from the moment Medusa got up on the rope, basically.
Yep.
It was great. Medusa is pissed, though, and they want to really, like, lay-in that she is the bad guy. So she drops Sherry on her fucking head after the bell with a German suplex and then, like, bashes her head into the mat repeatedly. Like, ultra violence. I am so here for this. That's another thing that you need to get into AEW for and Ring of Honor is, like, the women's matches over there are brutal. There is, it's not like a, as much of like an organized, like an organized gymnastics routine as it feels like in WWE for me a lot of times. Like, they bleed over in AEW, like, women bleed on TV. It's amazing. And like, this felt like that. And I was very much here for it. But then, sure enough, back from break, all that was super cool, super awesome. And then we come back and it's just the Giant. And the Dungeon of Gooners coming out and growl yelling at the camera and blah, blah, blah. And then it's Florida Man time. Our biggest boy, he sends out Liz and the Gal Pals with Woman. This pleases me just because I love Woman. I love Liz. The other two, I don't know who they are, but I'm sure they're wonderful. Historic roommates, it seems like. The crowd losing it, though, because Macho and Liz are back together for now. And they, like, do the thing where they look to the top of the ramp and applaud for him, but it's all because he's being sneaky. He jumps on the Giant from behind and puts him to sleeper, and it's like, awesome, great. This ought to be a great match, right? Right? But no. I don't understand even really what happened here. And this is 2 weeks in a row where, like, the main event just seems to fall apart for some reason.
Yes!
The ref called for the bell before the match even began. Just random bell. Makes no one could tell you why that happened. I don't get it. It never started.
I'm glad you said that because I don't know it, because we were supposed to do this earlier, right? So at first we had done last week's.
Yeah.
Right? And I honestly was, because I haven't watched old wrestling in such a long time, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, is this just how it is? Because pre me being evacuated due to wildfires, that was the last thing I had seen. And I was like, oh
God.
Wow. That's
what a rough week for you. I'm so sorry I did that to you. Like, here, no, watch 90s Raw and then have your life go up. Like,
but honestly, like, it was just a matter of, oh, okay, man, they've really tightened some things up.
Yeah. Wowzers. Just, it was not great. I don't know. It feels like they rushed the whole thing because then Flair comes out to attack Macho Man. And it's like, well, that would have been a DQ. You know, if he had waited, that would have made sense. And after what seems like forever, Hogan finally comes out to save Florida Man with the steel chair. And he does this thing that he's been doing off and on the last few weeks where he just starts hitting everybody in the head with a chair. Just, it's fucking silly, but also it's just great. I can't help but love ages. And you get a shot to the head. And you get a shot to the head.
And I do always love when the chairs come out. Like, I naturally. Still, I'm like, if they don't come out fast enough or often enough, I'm like, what's even happening?
If the chair is, like, not
have
here,
have you forgotten where you come from?
Yes. Are you too good for your home? You gotta be hitting motherfuckers over the head. Let's do a CTE. CTE. No, it's terrible. But yeah, he does the thing. It's great. And he is all wrapped up. Flair's decide the best way to win is to take over the commentary booth in a cocaine-fueled rage. This is the most Flair I have ever seen Flair. He is just out, and he's cutting a promo on Hogan. He gets in a barking, hissing woo-off with Pepe. Like, at one point, he's, like, getting in Pepe's face. It's just wild. Giant is yelling. Rick is going. Jimmy is going. Bobby tries to calm him down, but they just clear everyone out, and Bobby just lets Rick take over, and he says he's hosting now. And he just keeps hitting the desk and screaming Super Brawl over and over, and that's the end of our show. What happened, Liz? Like, that's how I felt about the end of Nitro. Was really great, and then what happened?
Yeah, you know what? When I was watching it, I was like, what did they write here? And then it was only just now that you said cocaine field rage that I went, oh, of course.
Well, yeah. Exactly. Like, let us not forget who the real writer is here.
Yeah, like, silly me, because there are times when I'm like, how many times
Pablo
have I gone?
Escobar.
Oh, OK. Yeah. When I've gone, wow. And that never even occurred to me, which clearly means that, well, I have not done enough drugs because.
Yes. Well, no, you're a good girl. Everyone knows this. It's a thing I say all the time. Liz. Oh yeah. She's good. She's perfectly sweet baby angel. Never done anything wrong.
That's me. we're just going to stay there. That's where we live.
That's where we live now. Yeah.
Favorite make-believes, but holy shit, like
bad.
That was bigger than the fight.
Yeah It was just explosive. The fight didn't even happen. Like, he chokeslammed a bunch of randos. Like,
it was like a commercial and then a real fight,
and then woo super brawl woo. So that was a weird Nitro. But we did it. We got through both of them, Liz. We did it. We talked about 90s problematic wrestling. And I didn't die.
Honestly, I just want to come back for more.
Yeah. Well,
we can do this. You know what? You don't have to have me back on. You just have to keep talking. We just have to chat again. That's what it comes up with.
Oh, because that's always been an option.
Because I need to come back for a few people. You know, I need to talk to you about some of my loves and hates. And I don't really hate. I didn't really hate anybody, even though I wanted to. I really hate Vince McMahon.
That's really the only one.
I hate the McMahons.
Just the McMahons as a total.
That includes everyone who's married into the McMahon family, because I know.
Yes.
How
yes.
But no, like, I do. I kind of hate the McMahon. But yeah, then I love so many people that I think I'm supposed to hate. And that's one of my favorite things about wrestling. Even when you're like, I came to find out that person was
you an little rebel, you
fire, or they were trying to be a dumpster fire. Like, you can't
attempted dumpster fire is the new name of my band. That's fantastic. But no, you on that note, you will absolutely be back. You have been a delight. Thank you for coming. But before we get all the way out of here, do you want to know what was your favorite match? Oh, did you get muted?
He did. Oh, that's so funny. You little asshole. Come here.
It happened. I thought you were just like, anyways, I've said too much.
No, he's got me firmly in claw. Okay, come here, baby. I love kids. I do, but there's a reason that you only have them every 22 years or so. Come here, you.
Cat producers, folks. We have cat producers on this, Bob. We always will.
And Truffles is new to the gig, so he hasn't quite figured out the rules yet.
That's okay. We like a greenie on here. But as I was saying, do you have a favorite match of the week?
You know what? Like, that's so hard for me because usually it's the stuff that's not supposed to be a match that's my favorite.
Yeah.
It just is. So I do love those, but honestly, I really enjoy tag team. I just love tag team. So even though I loved watching the entirety of Raw more, Nitro actually had my two favorite moments.
Yeah.
Right? Because I did. I love tag team matches, so I love any tag team match I watch. And then of course I just love to watch the women going at it.
Oh, I was gonna say we can split match of the week down the middle then. You can take the tag team match, and I will take Sherry and Medusa. Everyone wins.
But, you know, because I did. I enjoyed watching Raw for the feelings it gave me about going back and just wanting. Yeah. Now I want to keep watching it. Now I want to keep catching up. And I'm going to be doing so because now I've done basically 2 weeks in a row. So I'm just going to keep going.
I was going to say, that's how I get you. See, they should really start paying me. You hear that, Triple Paul? Give me money. I'm getting you views and shit.
Because I want to get up to, I want to watch the entire Evolution again without breaks this time. I'm actually going to suffer through some things. I want to get to the Evolution of like Bray Wyatt.
Oh yeah. Bray, all right, we're bookending. Makes sense. You're an author. But that's what we started with is talking about that era. Of like the 2010s to 2019. Wow. And one of my favorite parts of that was Bray Wyatt.
They were incredible together. It was an incredible,
faction.
Idea. Like, it was just such a good idea. Like, wow, you came up with that and you guys decided to do this. But I want it.
You're cutting
out. It was one of the chants. Did it again. I'm sorry, but he is full on awake now. I just him and finish this. So this was that moment where I kind of had to go, okay, well, I know that these are my favorites. I know that they are, but I have to go back and rewatch some things. And I have to remember some people. And because, you know, especially now when you're watching things like the inductions into the Hall of Fame and the things that people have to say about their peers and their colleagues, especially when they have passed and they're remembering people. Like, there's so much that I didn't know when I was first in this and watching it. And some of it, I'm glad to know.
Yeah.
You know, some of it was a lot more heartening. And when getting into the Wyatts, you know, that was a real turning point for me as a writer. So being able to go back and watch that evolution is just going to be huge. It's just going to be so much fun and so frustrating. And I actually enjoy being frustrated, which is probably a little weird.
No, you're in good company.
I enjoy the challenge of looking at something and thinking of the ways that I would have done it and asking myself why it was done this way. And I had a couple of those moments, especially watching Nitro. I had a couple of those, why did they do it this way? Moments. But now I'm going to just keep going with it. I'm going to find out why. You know, because eventually you get to see the reasoning behind it if you stay with it.
That's when you start to see the code is when you do it repeatedly and you can see where it's going. You can see where they probably change things on a whim. And like, it's definitely been my favorite part of this. I have to put eventually I'm going to keep track of this. So I have to say it officially. So I remember to put it on the spreadsheet. Eventually I'm disagreeing with you. I like Nitro more this week. Officially.
You are allowed. It was kind of this is my childhood thing. It kind of was a blast. If I had watched Nitro first.
It may be. Yeah, no.
Moments were Nitro. Like, they were. I can absolutely see where you're coming from. But I couldn't help
you're
it.
You're factoring it in the nostalgia bomb. Yeah.
It did. It gave me the feels. And because I am such a feels person, I just kind of, I can't help it.
I like you. I like you for your feels. That's okay. thank you. And thank you for coming and doing this. And I will absolutely have you back and put you through more. But before then, do you want to let the fine people know where they can see more from you, send you money for art and things, send Liz money, where they can give you money, things of that nature, money.
I do. And you know what? I do enjoy being an artist and I don't enjoy starving.
Yeah.
So money is good, but actually I have something really exciting that I get to tell you. So that's even better.
Yay.
We just finished, as you know, Curiouser and Curiouser, which is dark fantasy and horror, around the world of Wonderland, right?
Yes.
You know, tales from a survivor's point of view. And we, again, don't need to go into that any broader. But what I'm taking kind of a break because right now the novella I'm writing is so hard. Very V.C. Andrews. What we're doing at the start of 2025 is going to be releasing the My Boyfriend is a Shark cartoons in physical form.
Yes!
So my baby, my bubblegum, macabre, you know, Addams Family meets Archie and Jughead cartoon. Is going to be in physical format. So if anybody's on Blue Sky and they want to follow the sharkqueen.com or studiometropolis.com, those are my babies. In fact, we are splitting the branding studio. So the creative studio will be entirely my baby. And if you go to the sharkqueen.com on Blue Sky, then you also can have links to like the coffee where you can catch up on the cartoons. And my links to things like tips and stuff. And soon, my art gallery, as people keep asking for my drawings, amazingly enough, I do not actually consider myself an artist that way because what I do is so simple and I wouldn't try to do anything more realistic than my abstract art. But because people are asking for it, I'm going to give it to them. So that will be available soon as well. So.
Damn right. Give it to them. They appreciate it. I know I certainly want it and would love for to get. All right. Wait, phrasing, Garrick. Oh my God. Okay. Well, I'm leaving that in. I'm not editing that. You just watched me catch myself be possibly problematic in real time. See, folks, see, but yes, I want that so badly. Like, all your stuff is great. I love so much having gotten to just be introduced to you on Blue Sky. This is, I've said it before, this is a very much a Blue Sky podcast. we were born under blue skies. So like, that's why most of my guests are just my mutuals. That's who I'm going for here, is a chance to talk to y'all. It's been so nice to talk to you. And for everybody else though, I should say I interrupted you. Are you done promoing? Do you have more things to say? Oh, I think you're muted again.
I was going to say, just come to Blue Sky, you know, yes. Just come to Blue Sky and follow everybody, but follow me, especially, and get on my mailing list so that I can tell you all about these cool cartoons, because they are flipping adorable. They really are. And with that,
I think the animals are saying, "You're done, Mama. You're done. It's all over."
Oh, she sounds so mean. Pit bulls are so funny that way. She's such a marshmallow. Anyway, since I'm clearly being told that I'm finished, just, you know.
We're wrap it up, folks. All right. Well, thank you. And thank you, everyone, for listening. You can find us, again, like we've been saying, on Blue Sky. We are one of the people you can follow at mnffpod.bsky.social. Instagram, that still occasionally gets updated, at mnffpod. And if you want to join us for watch parties of pay-per-views and other little random things, you can join the Patreon at patreon.com/mnffpod. Otherwise, we will see you all next week, if we still exist, for more Raw versus Nitro on Monday Night Fake Fights. Okay, bye.